Are you tuned in? Because I am. It's the Nancy Ruffin Show.
You are tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show, a digital global classroom where individuals across all ages, backgrounds, and career levels tune in for guidance and motivation to live life on their own terms. Hosted by award-winning author, transformation coach, and the self-proclaimed Latina Oprah, The Nancy Ruffin Show is where inspiring thought leaders, modern-day influencers, and social game changers come to discuss their own personal journeys and have real conversations about the journey to success. It's where the next generation of leaders come to tap into their potential, ignite their fire, and expand their self-awareness. So if you're ready to power up and blaze trails of positive change, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Welcome back. You are tuned in to another episode of The Nancy Ruffin Show. I am your host, the one and only Nancy Ruffin, aka The Latina Oprah. And you are tuned in to the number one personal development podcast on these internet streets. This is the podcast where we focus on developing tomorrow's leaders today. And when we're talking about leadership and developing leaders, we are talking about the whole individual. So we are making sure that we are giving you a little bit of business, a little bit of culture, a little bit of spiritual, because all of these things collectively, when we nurture them, when we pour into ourselves, into our whole selves, it is only then that we can be effective, powerful leaders. We can't just focus on one area and not focus on other parts of ourselves. There's no way that that's ever going to work, because you neglect one part of you, then you're never going to fulfill God's ultimate potential for your life. So when we're talking about leadership, we're talking about the individual as a whole, because our collective experiences, all of it, our emotional, our mental, our business, spiritual, all of that forms who we are. It forms our decision making. It forms how we interact with others. It forms how we engage with other people. Are we able to be empathetic leaders? Can we put ourselves in the shoes of our employees so that we can give them the best guidance in doing their jobs and moving forward? There's so many things that tie back to leadership that I don't think many people tend to think about. And oftentimes when we think about what being a leader is, we think that it's, well, most of the time it is someone, you know, in a position that is responsible for guiding a team or guiding people, guiding an organization, guiding a country, right? Like the president. But if you don't have certain skills and if you don't have certain qualities, you're never going to be an effective leader. I mean, and we see that in the state of this country today. We see the result of putting people in leadership positions that lack basic human qualities. And so this podcast is really focused and dedicated on giving you small doses of things that will help you become a better version of yourself. So if this is your first time joining us, welcome. I am so happy to have you here. I hope that we blow your mind with this episode, so much so that you return next week and that you encourage your friends to listen to us. And if you're a regular, welcome back. I am so grateful that you lend your ears to me every single week, you know, for whether it's 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. I'm just grateful, because without you, there would be no purpose for me to even do the show. And so all I'm really doing is sharing my own knowledge, my own expertise, my own personal experiences as it relates to leadership, into discovering your purpose, into following your heart and really listening to how God is calling you to step into your life and into this world. It's a little bit of all of that. And what I find, I don't know if I find it strange or ironic, or maybe it's not any of those things, But I feel like this past year, at least for me, has been a re-energizing, not only in my purpose, in what I know I've been called to do, but in the way that I'm delivering that message. I think that a part of that has to do with the fact that I was born again this past June. I was baptized. I recommitted myself to God. And ever since that moment, I feel like this burning flame inside of me to just go at 1,000, right? I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like God is purposely positioning me to do something greater. And I don't know what that is yet, but I feel like my relationships have gotten stronger. I'm making these really great connections with other people of God. And I find, I don't know if it's strange, but I feel like there's this desire in society more than ever to reconnect with God or to find God again. Or maybe it's because I'm viewing things with a different lens now that all of this is visible to me. But there are so many people giving their lives to Christ, even within my own circle, within my own network. Just today, a woman who I met, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago, she attended one of my workshops, and then she attended the workshop again this past year. She shared an incredible testimony about a time that she was struggling in her marriage, and how she had recently started going back to church with her husband. Anyway, fast forward to present day, she sends me a message today telling me that she and her husband both got baptized. And she says that it was the most exciting feeling. And I remember back this past January when she shared her testimony, she was the one that was more fully committed to going to church and really seeking God. I think that her husband was doing it with her, but he wasn't as committed as she was at the time. But we fast forward to today, and she was saying how he was even more excited about getting baptized, and that it was just like a completely different person. And, you know, she this is a woman who says she has been met with resistance from people in her own family, you know, with her father doesn't believe in Christianity or in the church. He feels that it is all a money grab. And so that he told her now that she got baptized that she can become a pastor and that they can become millionaires. But in any case, I digress. I share all that to say that as I continue to walk in my own faith and in my own journey with God, He is, I don't know if it's opening my eyes, but I'm starting to see a bigger vision of His plan for me and what that means. And I'm starting to let go of dreams that I thought I wanted, and they're being replaced with the dreams that God has for me. And so today I wanted to talk about God's plan and how we're either stepping in to the purpose that God has for our lives, or how we're self-destructing and going down the wrong path, you know, and not really clear on what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Because I will tell you that the vision that I have for myself today is vastly different than what it was a year ago. And when we come back, I'm going to talk some more about that. I'm also going to share a snippet of something that Oprah shared. And I think this was during, the grand opening of the Tyler Perry Studios down in Atlanta. But she was asked the question, what's her dream? And it was really interesting what she had to say. So when we come back, I'm going to share that snippet with you, and then we're going to continue this conversation.
You are now listening to the one and only Nancy Ruffin.
Welcome back. Thank you for sticking around. This week we're talking about God's plan and how we're either stepping in to God's plan for our lives or we're walking away and self-destructing from what God has called us to do. And I find it ironic that God or the subject of God, while oftentimes may be taboo, right? Or we may feel like we're going to turn people off if we dare to even speak about God, talk about our faith. But God has been very popular in our culture, especially in hip hop culture. You know, if you guys are familiar with, you know, Kanye, he made that song Jesus Walks. And I think even more so now with his Kanye Sunday services is really making, I guess, God, quote unquote, popular in our culture, right? You see these churches getting filled up to capacity just to be a part of something. I mean, part of it could be just because they want to be, you know, where Kanye is, they want to be in proximity to Kim Kardashian. You know, I mean, celebrities have a way of making regular people do things that they normally wouldn't do. But regardless of how Kanye is getting people into the church, he is getting people into the church. So he has arrived at a position in his life where he is starting to use his fame, his celebrity, his platform to elevate the name of Jesus Christ. He's bringing God to the masses, right? And we see this. And if you guys are following, and I think the account is Kanye Sunday Services on Instagram, you will see how he's using very popular songs that we all know and love in pop culture, and he's flipping them and making them worship praise songs to God. I mean, it's absolutely genius because he's taking songs that we already all know and love and just putting a different spin on it. And then we see, you know, Drake, not too long ago, he came out with the song God's Plan, and he's really just talking about how, you know, God has his hand in everything and how God uses us, me, you, you know, everyday people to do his work here on earth. And, you know, if you saw Drake's video for God's Plan, he spent almost $1 million because the entire video, he's just giving things away to people in need, just free stuff, you know. And so I wanted to talk about what that means for you and me, because I think that everything that we do in our lives, it is either getting us closer to God's plan for our life or is pulling us farther away from God's plan for our lives. And sometimes, you know, the environment that we're in, the people that we are surrounded by, our inner circle, the books that we're reading, the shows that we're watching, the music that we're listening to, all of these things have a way of influencing us, right? They can either influence us positively or they can influence us negatively. And, you know, I know that every single experience that we have in this life serves to nurture and cultivate us and grow us and ultimately get us to where we're supposed to be, right? But what happens when we fail to take these hard lessons, right? When we go through those hardships in our lives and we go through the struggles and through those things that are often designed to break us, what happens when we let those things break us and we never get to the place, to the position that God has prepared for us? And I say that, I talk about that specifically because I've had so many people in my family just throw their entire lives away. Literally, they died without ever fulfilling God's purpose for their lives. And then I wonder if I'm supposed to take their lives as lessons and use it in my own life and to have an impact on people. And so, you know, I have a cousin who committed suicide at the age of 25. And he battled, you know, with schizophrenia. He was bipolar. He had a number of mental health issues that were never addressed. And all of that contributed to his depression, his drug use, his isolation, all of these things that if he would have had the appropriate help, if he would have been surrounded by the right people or the right influences, maybe he could have used those things, you know, and they could have served as his testimony, you know, for a better life. But he committed suicide. And then, you know, a few years later, my uncle, his father, you know, ended up dying from, it was a heart attack, but it was cardiac arrest that was sparked by his drug use and because he was asthmatic. And, you know, he also suffered a great deal from depression. And this is a man who lived a really hard life. As a teenager, he was involved in gangs. He often told me that he did so, you know, he did many things in his younger days that he wasn't proud of. And he felt that God was punishing him as an adult with his son and with his other daughter, with his own life, for all of the things that he did to other people when he was young and when he was part of the gang. And so his way of coping with his depression was using drugs. And when his son committed suicide, I think it just compounded what he was feeling. And he was never, ever able to bounce back out of that. And so he was just overusing drugs. He had went into cardiac arrest one time before. He ended up in the hospital in ICU for over 2 weeks. You know, he made it out of that time. But then a year later, it happened again and he died. He wasn't able to come back from that. And I mean, a part of me feels that that was what he wanted, because living in this world was just too much for him. But he was a really smart man. He was well-read. He could have a conversation about anything because he was just that. He was so wise and so smart. And I wonder that if he would have taken some of those qualities, and if he would have sought the help that he needed, and if he would have talked to the right people, if he would have had the right influences around him, he could have really created something great with his life. Because one thing that he did have, he had this gift for connecting with young people. All of the young people in his life that he was surrounded by in his neighborhood just absolutely loved and adored him because he was able to connect with them in a special way, in a way that these young people wanted to be around him, and they listened to what he had to say. And so when I think about his life, I think about what he could have been, but because he never, you know, stepped into what God had for him, he never sought the help that he needed, he wasted his life. And so I wonder how many of us find ourselves in the same situation, and we're wasting our lives because we might be in a season where we can't see, you know, the rainbow at the end of the storm. We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel because, you know, we're so engulfed in our pain, in our sadness, in our depression, that we don't know how we're going to get out of it. But I wonder if we surrounded ourselves with the right people, with the right influences, if we pleaded to God and got on our hands and knees and asked him to take us out of this depression and of this state and really show us who we can be if things would start turning around. You know, and I say that because I remember being in a really dark place when I was dishonoring myself, my relationships, everything. I was just a hot mess. And for me, I thought that, you know, spending every weekend in the club, partying, getting drunk, so drunk till I passed out, that I would have to be carried out of the club by bouncers. Like, I thought all of that was fun. But when I think back about it, when I think back to it, I was a hot mess. And I realized that all of those things were masking just the sadness that was going on within me, the depression, not being happy with who I was. You know, when we're not happy, we start to self-sabotage, but we pretend that we love what we're doing. And I'm not saying that it was all bad. There were good moments, but those are not the things that God, you know, it's not part of God's plan for me. God's plan is not for any of us to be depressed or misusing and abusing ourselves. And, you know, when you decide that you want more, when you decide that you've had enough, when you decide that you don't want to be depressed anymore, that you know you were created for more, it's like you have this emptiness inside and you're longing to fill that void. And when we don't know how to fill it, sometimes we fill it with bad things. And for me though, what started happening was that I started surrounding myself with different kinds of people. With people who were on the same journey as myself, people who were looking for something more. And through those relationships, the more that I started to focus on myself, the more I started to challenge what I had told myself, what my life was supposed to be, and really started looking at myself as the dynamic spiritual being that God created me to be, things just started to shift almost on their own. And of course, nothing happens on its own. Everything is an ebb and flow, right? So it's like every step that we take is leading us a step closer, you know, to where we ultimately are going to be. So of course, the steps that I was taking back in 2011 are what ultimately got me to where I am in 2019. But that was 8 years of work, 8 years of walking, 8 years of committing to my own self-healing. And, you know, and a part of that too is 8 years of letting go of certain, you know, bad habits, letting go of old ways of thinking, letting go of people who are not pushing you to be your best self. And there's going to be times when you're on your own journey trying to get better, that the people that you're with right now are not going to understand it. And that's because they're stuck in their own mess and in their own chaos. And the only reason you can connect with them people is because you're both chaotic and you're both a hot mess. But as soon as one of you starts to heal and starts to move past the thing that connects you, those relationships are going to fall by the wayside. And it's not by any fault of your own, but God has something greater for you. And that greatness, unfortunately, may not include the people that are in your network right now. Because these people that are in your circle right now, they're good for this moment. And for all the moments in the past that have brought you to where you are right now. But where you're going, they might not be destined to go. And you might have to leave them behind so that you can meet other people who are going to get you closer to God's plan for your life. And this is where I am today. I can't begin to tell you that the minute I started becoming more spiritual, the minute that I started reconnecting with the God in me, the more He would place people in my life that would feed that part of me that I was missing. And it started back in 2011 with Gloria Rodriguez. And from there, He just continued to place amazing people in my life. And this past year, well, actually last year, I have been looking for a church. I hadn't been to church, like, I think since I got married. Like in 2001 was probably the last time. Well, maybe not the last time because my nieces ended up getting baptized. But what I'm saying is I was not going to church regularly. I was not attending anybody services on any day of the week. And last year, I had this longing or this desire to connect with a church but I didn't want it to be just any church. I didn't want it to be the Catholic Church. I grew up Catholic, and no shade to the Catholic religion, but there's just so many beliefs that the Catholic Church has that I can't just rock with. I don't accept, because for me, God means love. Like, God is love. God loves all people. And Catholicism does not teach that. You know, it teaches that, you know, God loves a certain person. And if you're not this person, then you're condemned to hell. And I don't believe that. I think that God loves all people, regardless of who they are, regardless of how they look, regardless of who they love. God loves us all because we're all his children. So I knew I didn't want to go back to the Catholic Church. And I met this connection on Instagram, and she invited me to her church one day. And from that moment on, her and I formed an incredible, incredible friendship. And through her, I found my church. And through my church, I recommitted myself to Christ, and I got baptized this year. And so even with that journey, even with the more that I share my own testimony, I have so many people who are now working on their own faith journey. And I don't know if my candidness is helping them explore theirs more, but like, whatever it is, I feel that that is what God has put me here to do, because I have this platform, because I'm brave enough to talk about the things that have happened to me, how I've overcome them, how God has been the integral, central force in everything in my life. Like, for me, it's bigger than the writing. It's bigger than this podcast. It's bigger than me being the Latina Oprah. Like, I have been put on this earth to get people closer to God. You know, and I'm not saying that I'm out here recruiting people, you know, for God's kingdom. But I'm just sharing my own experiences. And if that inspires someone else to build their own relationship with God, then that is my purpose. And so I'm at the point where I'm just living out my dreams, but they're not my dreams. They're God's dreams. And so with that, I want to share the clip with Oprah, because it speaks directly to what I'm talking about. So here we go.
No, this is the truth. I live in God's dream for me. I live inside God's dream for me. And every day I wake up, I cannot believe that I live where I live. I look out at the ocean. I feel like I'm living inside God's dream for me. So what I try to do is to fulfill that dream through my physical body and my being, but I live inside God's dream for me.
Oof. Ain't that a word? They asked her, what was Oprah's dream, or what's Oprah's dream? And she responds that she is living in God's dream for her. And so I challenge you to ask yourself, are you living in God's dream for you? Like, I feel like I'm finally getting there. Like, I'm finally living in God's dream for me. So now everything that I do is for God. That's it. It's for God. It's for the glory of God, for the glory of his kingdom. It's not for me anymore. And so I can wake up every day happy, go to work in my 9 to 5. And before I start my day, you know, I pray. And even in that space, like, God, how are you using me today in this workplace? How am I inspiring people here? How am I getting them closer to you? And this is how I move in everything that I do now. Like, it's all about God. And I've never been happier. And so while I've lost certain people in my life, you know, and what I've gained and returned, far supersedes anything that I've lost. I've never been happier in my entire life than what I am right now. And so, you know, this week, I want you to just think about God's plan for your life. What does that look like? How are you walking in that? What actions, what steps are you taking to be more aligned with God's vision? And maybe you don't know what that is right now. And so if you don't, then I ask you to sit with that as well and pray and ask God, like, God, what is it that you want me to be doing with my life? And keep asking yourself that question until you feel it in your heart. Because when it's revealed to you, you will know. There's not going to be any second guessing. There's not going to be any doubt. You are going to know what God's purpose is for your life. And you might think that it's one thing, and it might be something totally different. And so for me, I know that all of this work that I do with women, it's for them. Yes, of course. But more than it being for them, it's for them to see who they are in God, how God is working within them, and how each of them have been placed on this earth to do God's work. That is my purpose. And I know this like I know the back of my hand. Oh my God, it's incredible when you can wake up every single day knowing what you've been put on this earth to do. And so this is my prayer for you, that you wake up every morning knowing what you have been called to do, and that you are brave enough and courageous enough to walk in that calling. So until next time, mi gente, I love you. Thank you for rocking with me. Just be true to yourself, be kind. And as you embark on, you know, this week, go out there and crush those goals, whatever they are. It might be one goal. Crush the heck out of that goal, because at least then you have been one step closer to God's purpose for your life. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.